Hello, this is Sue Lloyd, Vice Chair of the ISSB, and I'm here today with our Chair, Emmanuel Faubert. And we're recording this podcast at the end of our July board week here in Frankfurt. So we're going to discuss recent developments here at the ISSB, insights from our week here in Frankfurt, and a little bit of a look ahead to what's coming up. So, Emmanuel, where do you want to start?
Hi, Sue. Well, I will start by first and foremost welcoming everyone and the audience to the Dog and Pony Show of ISSB every month here. It's good to have you with us. For all of you who are waiting to hear the voice of the vice chair, and you will have to wait for a moment because I will start. And I will start talking about the SASB standards. On the 3rd of July, we published two exposure drafts relating to the proposed enhancements to the SASB standards and related updates to IFRS S2 industry-based guidance. This is part of our commitment from last year to maintain and enhance the standards and support implementation of the ISSB standards. So one thing I'd mention is and you'll find that in the EDs, that throughout the process, we kept interoperability in mind, engaging closely with EFRAG, TNFD, and GRI. There are specific appendices in the document that point to the particular disclosures so as to highlight as much as possible the direct interoperability that we've been looking for and that we know the market is so much valuing. We hope to hear from you because we decided a 150-day comment extension, basically, as a 150-day comment period would be good until the end of November 2025. We encourage you to view the relevant sections of the exposure draft, depending on who you are, a regulator, an investor, a particular company operating in a particular sector. As you will see, there are several categories in all of this. We're excited because it's a big moment for us. The SASB standards are now, as well as the GRI standards, going to be used in the draft that will be soon published by FAG in Europe as a permanent way to fulfill the requirements of industry-specific standards under the ESRS. And so it's even more important for you to look at them for the future use. With that, Sue, you have obviously played a big role in that work. Anything further that you'd like to add?
Yeah, I think you've covered the exposure drafts well. So I'll point out a piece of related material that we published after we published the exposure draft. So some educational material to help companies to understand how to use the SASB standards when you're applying IFRS S1, how to use industry-based guidance when you're applying IFRS S2. And that's really there to give a bit more explanation about what these magic words are that we use in the standards that an entity shall refer to and consider the applicability of these materials. So some more information about what those words mean. And also really spelling out the benefits for a company when you look to the SASB standards to help you work out what to report on and what good disclosure looks like to meet the requirements in the ISSB standards. So it's not, you know, extra work. It's really there to help you provide proportionate decision useful material. So I hope that that educational material helps provide that context to the market. What else do you want to highlight, Emmanuel?
Well, as we were talking about Climate Week in London in June, just before the SASB standards exposure draft, at the end of that London week, we announced with GRI a pretty important milestone in our agreement with the GRI, announcing the great news that the Global Sustainability Standards Board, the GSSB, has granted equivalence to IFRS S2 for entities preparing disclosures on greenhouse gas emissions under GRI 102, which is their new climate standards issued by the GSSB. I think, as I just alluded before, this type of direct equivalence, as opposed to, you know, good alignment or very inspired by, or, you know, all of these words that we've seen flourishing over the last 2 years, I think is really shaping the future of what true interoperability and seamless systems should be. So I think it's a great, very concrete you know, outcome of our work together with the GRI, thanking them for the trust and the good you know, working relationship you have to ensure that there is efficiency on reporting using our respective standards. This will enable companies to prepare just one set of greenhouse gas emission disclosures in accordance with IFRS S2 to meet the requirements in both standards. But there were also other things happening in London. So maybe you can take us through those too.
Yeah, London Climate Action Week was a busy week for everybody, including for us. And one of the really important things that we did during that week was to publish our new educational material, our transition plan disclosure guidance, which was part of a commitment we made about a year ago to do more to support the preparation of high quality information about what plans a company has to reduce emissions or to adapt and improve its resilience to climate change. We took responsibility for the disclosure specific material that the Transition Plan Task Force had developed. We took that responsibility last year and we said we'd build on that and produce materials branded as IFRS materials to help provide additional explanation for what the disclosures would look like that would be important to meet the requirements in IFRS S2 to make sure that it was high quality disclosure for investors and to reduce, the risk of fragmentation. So it was really well received. We had a great launch event at the London Stock Exchange for that document. And again, just to touch on why this matters, because it can sound very abstract, but like what you just said about GRI, there's really practical consequences here for companies. This means that you've got the ability, firstly, to look at these materials to give you some more information and insights about what good disclosure could look like when you're complying with IFRS S2. And also we're calling on jurisdictions around the world to refer to this guidance as material to support the application in markets around the world. So if you're a company reporting in multiple jurisdictions, you can use that guidance in those different markets to produce your compliant information about your transition planning. And so it's a real source of efficiency. And so always trying to help with this efficiency angle as well as make sure information is decision useful, which is really important. So that's a lot of background about what we've been doing earlier on. Let's move now to Frankfurt and this week. And where do you want to start, Emmanuel?
Well, I start where the week started, I think, really, which is with our third conference here in Frankfurt at the Goethe Institute at the university, not far from the office here. A great 2-day conference with a couple of hundred in-presence participants that was organized, and thanks to the participation of all our partners, starting with the DRSC, the National Standards Center here in Germany, but also a number of companies, the SAF, which is a research institute, the House of Finance, and many others. So always great to see the support that we have. The Secretary of State of Ministry of Finance of Hesse had just been appointed and were there saluting the good work that we're doing here in the city of Frankfurt and you know, indicating all the support to this work that the Hesse government is giving, which is always comforting, given how hard we're working here. And it was a moment of reflection as well with a panel of large European companies and many others, actually, regulators and others, that were talking about the current challenges and opportunities in particular in the context of the ESRS simplification here in Europe. And again, a number of them calling for a much simpler, probably more radical interoperability using ISSB as a baseline for the ESRS. We then started our board week itself, and I'll start before you go more by the work plan conversation that we had. So a year ago, we finalized our 2024-2026 agenda, technical agenda for ISSB. We are sort of in the middle of that, and we have started conversations and reached conclusions on the timing at which we will, at the earliest, start a potential next work of for the next agenda consultation of ISSB. So the staff presented a proposal to align our timing with our sister board, the IASB, in the interest of greater connectivity and for the benefit of our shared stakeholders. We considered this alongside the need to continue with our existing working plan, of course, which is seen by many to be robust, and I would agree with that. And so on balance, and subject obviously to the IASB agreeing to the timeline, the board agreed to initiate the ISSB's agenda consultation in late 2026 with a plan to issue a request for information in 2027. What I would add to that, fast forwarding the end of this week, the IASB had a meeting yesterday, which took over that conversation on our side to discuss their own stance around this potential solution. And despite the fact they did not have and they didn't plan to vote this time, but there was apparently a unanimous support to the solution with different angles brought to why it would make sense, which I'm personally delighted to hear from our colleagues. And hopefully when they finally deliberate sometime in the coming months, we should be able then to start and fix that process of the next agenda consultation. So more to come on the IASB side, but I think as far as we're concerned, we're well aligned with the direction of travel. So that was one big important aspect, and we covered a number of others, and that's the time to shine your voice.
So the next thing that we talked about was our two research projects on bees and on human capital. So great discussions, I think, on both of those. So on nature, we were talking about bees, biodiversity ecosystems and ecosystem services. We're talking about next steps there, how we would do the next phase of research, thinking about which aspects of nature that we would look at and how we would approach it. And the staff were suggesting that we start with a broad scope to dig into this additional analysis, developing our analysis using the TNFD, I would say, very much as an anchor for how we approach that for that additional research and decision making. And on human capital, we discussed that as well. And the staff there, you know, noting that we don't have the benefit of, you know, something like the TCFD recommendations that we had when we built S2 or the anchor of TNFD and other materials when it comes to nature. On the human capital front, the staff presented a plan to really work first on making sure we've got a clear sort of organizing construct for this work. So what definitions do we use? What sort of scope and description and language do we start to develop to frame our research and thinking and to articulate the types of risks and opportunities that really matter to investors when they're understanding the effects of human capital related matters on an entity's prospects over the short, medium and long term? So a really, I think, healthy discussion on that, which hopefully gave the staff some food for thought in terms of how they approach that. So great to hear further progress on those two projects, and we'll see more over the rest of the year. So we had the initial feedback summary from the staff on the exposure draft, which proposed some targeted amendments in response to some application questions and challenges we've heard about for those that are in the process of applying S2. That exposure draft comment period ended relatively recently. So big thank you firstly to the staff for their really quick turnaround in this initial analysis to give us an initial read of the feedback that we got. First thing to say is we got loads of letters, even though this was a very targeted document focusing on very specific aspects of application when it comes to GHG emissions disclosures. I think we got around 180 responses. So thank you to everybody who took the time, and really great to see that overall there was broad support for what we're proposing to do here and real enthusiasm, I think, for the ISSB being willing to act on a timely basis to go so far to make these really targeted amendments to help people. We always said we'd do it, and I think people are pleased to see that we really are willing to do that when it's necessary. So this meeting wasn't the full analysis. It was the initial analysis. It was an opportunity for us to hear the areas we're going to need to dig into a little bit further as we move forward with this project. It was an opportunity for board members to flag the areas that they would be interested to understand more so that we're really focused in our re-deliberations. And we are still hoping to be really targeted in the process here to finish these re-deliberations with the objective of getting this all wrapped up and finalised before the end of the year, because we know that there are many around the world who need these amendments in order to support their implementation of S2, which is live.
Thank you, Sue. Thanks for the update. It's been a super busy week here. Again, I'd like to, as you just said, thank our staff to be providing all these quality papers that allow us to progress with speed and efficiency, keeping the momentum going. We continue to see that momentum coming, more jurisdictions adopting The UK government announcing the UK sustainability reporting standards as a draft during Climate Week in London. Nepal came later, and again, it's you know, it's just a show of the diversity of jurisdictions that see the value in what we're doing. We are encouraged by that. We want to be true to the commitment of everyone here, and so more than ever, you've got our commitment to deliver on time. So that was the Dog and Pony Show of ISSB broadcast from Frankfurt here in July. August is coming. I hope many of you will have a chance for a break on my side. I will not be climbing the mountains this year, but rather biking. My legs still need a bit of rehabilitation. Sue, any plan on your side?
Yes, not summer plans, winter plans, going home to New Zealand, a little bit of time in Sydney. No biking and nor climbing for me, more reading books on my side, but still nice to have a change from the usual routine. So we look forward to seeing everybody or hearing everybody, letting people hear us, in fact, again in September.
Absolutely. Thank you all for your attention, your audience, and we'll see you on the other side. Stay tuned.
To stay up to date with the latest developments from the IFRS Foundation, the International Accounting Standards Board, and the International Sustainability Standards Board, sign up for email alerts on our website, ifrs.org, or find us on social media. If you enjoyed this podcast, please take the time to rate, review, and subscribe on your preferred podcast player. Please contact us on communications@ifrs.org with any questions, comments, or suggestions.